Thank you, Mario. Life presents us with a variety of experience. Each and every day, we awaken to a new set of conditions and circumstances, ones that demand our attention and, yes, our consideration. But let us not forget that we alone determine where it is we place our focus and to what it is we're going to give our attention. Sometimes we do not like what we see. And when that is the case, there is no reason to consider its demands. When life brings its experience, it also provides a menu of options. Options that include the ability to say, delete, or ask me later. Now, I do admit that some of what comes to us is way beyond our control. However, let us not forget that our response to what comes to us is within our control. Now, some of us prefer to be busy, very busy, filling every second of our existence with some type of activity. Others prefer a more serene reality, not so willing to participate in the drama of the moment or in the performance of the day. Regardless of our desire or inclination, we fill our days in a certain way, establishing patterns of routine and design. Through the act of existence, we take on responsibilities and obligations for ourselves and for others. Now, our response to what we consider responsibilities and obligations then becomes our experience. Our attitude is the deciding factor. When we look at something, do we consider it a problem that we must solve? Or is that an appearance that is merely passing through? It's all up to us. Whatever we do to fill our days, there are times when they appear hectic and chaotic. And we might find ourselves in a state of confusion, maybe a little overwhelmed, wondering what to do. We long to step aside, to gather ourselves and retreat from the world with its uncertain conditions. The desire is just to leave it all behind. Even if we are the ones who put it in place, there are times when we wish to escape from what we have done. We would like to run away, go someplace where no one can find us, apart from the drama of the day. Now, I think that from time to time, we all dream of what we might do if we had all of the time in the world to do what we wanted to do, to be free of those restraints of daily repetition, all of those unpleasant surprises with their uncertainty. Now, in the years leading up to my retirement, I dreamed of that day when I would gather all of my spiritual books, retreat to my lazy boy rocker, spending my days immersed in spiritual study, reading the Bible, or perhaps the words of gifted authors and teachers. I was absolutely certain that that would be what would happen. Well, I have to confess, it did not exactly work out that way. Now, yes, I do allow a little more time to read, to study, reflect, and contemplate. However, there is also that part about practicing the presence and living the truth. It is true that this activity first takes place in consciousness. However, in order to live it, it must be expressed. And to be expressed, I must get up from my lazy boy rocker and go out into the world. We go out into the world as the eye that goes before us, making every crooked place straight. As that eye who gives comfort and encouragement to our fellow man. I am reminded of Jesus' prayer concerning his disciples being in the world. The Master said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. He also said, In this world ye shall have tribulations. And yet he did not ask that the disciples be removed from the world. Now tribulations exist because of belief in separation from God. What might they be? The world gives its belief to what it considers power. The power of weather and climate. The power of disease and of heredity. The power of sin and false appetites. When the Master said his disciples were to be left in the world, but would not be subject to its powers, he gave that pattern for us to follow. This message is for us. So our prayer is that we remain in the world, so that we may be a light unto all those individuals who still fear what appears as problems, trials, and tribulations. When we escape to our favorite chair to read, study, reflect, and contemplate, we touched a realm of life not known to that one who is caught up in the drama of the moment or in the performance of the day. Our purpose and our intent is to share with others what we have discovered in our time of solitude. Now, perhaps the listeners will not be ready for our words. However, they will notice how we act, for actions speak louder than words. When we walk in our spiritual integrity, we are the light, and yes, much is expected of us. I dare say that many of you have also dreamed of escaping life's challenges in some way. You too look forward to that time when you may leave it all behind, escaping to your favorite chair for reflection and contemplation. A few months ago, we were all given the opportunity to escape from the world and retreat to the solitude of our homes. Now, this opportunity did not come to us because we had retired from our day job or were on vacation. It did not come to us because we had somehow earned it or even deserved it. No, this opportunity came to us as an order from our government. And it did not come as a suggestion. It was quite blunt. Stay home. Well, our dreams had come true. We were given permission to leave everything behind and retreat to the solitude of our home, our castle, secure and safe from that world. Now, at first, we may have even considered this as answered prayer. Our political leaders made certain that we observed and obeyed the instruction to stay home. Schools were closed. Restaurants were required to offer carry out and deliver only. Shopping malls, they were no longer in business. Hair salons and barbershops, they shut their doors. Doctors canceled appointments. Some banks offered ATM service only. Public transportation hours and service were cut way back, even non-existent in some areas. Now, in time, Metro thought it essential to separate the bus driver from the passengers, asking the passengers to enter and exit through the back door only. There's even a chain in place to make certain that we would obey by the new rules. Now, since that method of payment is right next to the driver, and we had no longer had access to the driver, this meant that the ride was free. Those who rode the bus, they may have even considered this a cause for celebration. But with everything closed, there really wasn't anywhere to go. And remember, the idea was that we were to stay home. Now I have to ask you, did you feel safe and secure in your home? The thing is, even though we were no longer traveling the roads of established daily routine, the world continued to intrude. Many individuals attached themselves to their cell phones, their laptops, and computers. Let us not forget the constant updates on live TV. Now, intellectually, we all know we have the ability to turn off all of those electronic gadgets. We can decide whether to listen or not. How many of us were able to do this? Remember, when it comes to our home, we decide who may enter in. We are the ones who extend the invitation, either to an individual or to the noise and the sound provided by the media and all of those others who bring the news of the day. Well, it is our attitude toward life that will determine our response. When our view bears witness to a realm of existence beyond appearance, we can weather the storms. We can walk in the midst of fire and not burn. We can tread the murky waters and not drown. The world will always have its tribulation appearing in some form or another, asking us to look at it and accept it. Now, it comes in many forms. May appear as war, or perhaps as a disease. It could appear as the uptimes and the downtimes, mirrored by the rise and the fall of the stock market. Now, the form, it may be invisible, existing merely as an idea, or as a state of fear or confusion. The one who consciously plants himself in high places shall not move from that spot. Now, I do hope that you were able to consider your time of seclusion to be a time of welcome solitude and not a time of isolation, at least for part of it. I hope that you were able to spend some time in your favorite chair, studying, reflecting, contemplating, free of fear and concern. Man always thinks that he can do certain things. However, he also believes that he may fall victim to the ways of the world or to the actions of others. Now, this is erroneous and misguided thinking. Let us not forget that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It is God's responsibility to support, maintain, and sustain what he has put in place. And he does not delegate his authority to another. The pattern that Jesus gave us was to be left in the world, but to be above its powers of suggestion and opposites. We are only subject to the ways of the world when we consider the world to be our place of habitation. When we live in the secret place of the Most High, these things do not come nigh our dwelling place. Our conviction is that God is, and beside Him there is none else. There's no other presence or power. When we can do this, we fulfill the pattern that Jesus gave us to follow. We are in this world as a shining light, serving those who still live in fear and darkness. But let us also remember that our purpose is not to change the world, but rather to change our view of it, not giving power where it does not belong. Jesus said it is the nature of the world to have tribulation, and it will continue to do so as long as there is consciousness to support it. The Bible tells us that every knee shall bow down. In time, each of us will have the revelation where we know without a doubt that God is, and beside Him there is none else. Now we come to this knowledge through the process of life, and each of us determines the length of the journey. We have varying degrees of understanding, acceptance, and acknowledgement. Each marches to the beat of a different tune, one that supports his capacity of acceptance. Now the pattern expresses in this way. There will be those who lead as the light. There will be those who are receptive to the light. And then there will be those who prefer to sit in darkness. However, none of this has anything to do with us. Our only purpose and our function is to allow our light to shine. And as long as we stay connected to our source, we will be that light. As long as the branch stays connected to the tree, it will bear its fruit. Now, during our time of seclusion, I received calls from individuals simply wanting to talk and share their concerns. I am sure that many of you received similar calls, perhaps from family and friends. I like to think that your words calmed and soothed the caller, assuring them that this too shall pass, perhaps offering a little food for thought and for the soul. All of you who are here this morning, you have a degree of understanding concerning our teaching. And yes, I do think that you attempt to practice it and live it according to the degree that you can. You have also discovered that in order to help others, you must first establish yourself in a state of lifted consciousness, a state of serenity, one that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Now, Jesus gave us the pattern to follow. So let us see what else he had to say. Many times Jesus taught with words of instruction, other times by his deeds and by his actions. The Bible tells us that Jesus went often to the mountaintop. Now we know that the mountaintop is a state of high consciousness. Truly, it's the kingdom of heaven. Then he walked among the people, bringing light to those who sat in darkness. Now, he could do this because of his time on the mountaintop, communing with God in the sanctuary of his soul's awareness, which is why he climbed that mountain many times. This is another pattern that he gave us to follow. And so our challenge is to live in that secret place of the Most High. I acknowledge that, yes, this is a challenge, because we will always be tempted by the appearance and its demand for power and acceptance. However, we do try to put into practice what it is that we know in our heart to be true. We may first begin by coming to church on a Sunday morning. We may even offer ourselves as a volunteer to serve on a committee or as an elected member of the Board of Trustees. We may teach classes or give lessons. Now, all of this is helpful, but still, it is activity. And it is not the same as living in the secret place of the Most High. Living in the secret place of the Most High is that place of high consciousness, the mountaintop. We need to abide there, dwell there, remain there, to live forever in the consciousness of God, praying without ceasing, keeping our attention on God. Now, let us also understand that this is not a mental activity, nor is it a physical effort. No, it is a state of listening, being open and receptive to the divine presence that lives us and moves us. It is an experience, and to have this experience, we must give no thought. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. When we serve others, we are serving God as his faithful servant. We all belong to the household of God, whether we consciously know it or not. It's a mystical experience, and it takes place in us. When we become quiet, we enter our closet and shut the door to the outside world. We shut the door to our thoughts and our emotions. Silence is golden. In the silence, we are not subject to the conditions that the world accepts as its tribulations. If the government tells me to stay home, well, I like being at home because, you see, I know that my true home is my inner sanctuary, and I may enter it at any time, regardless of where my physical body might be located at the moment. God gave us dominion over all of the earth and everything in it. And so we spend a great deal of time watching our thoughts. We have been told that the quality of our thought determines our deeds and our actions, as in mind, so in manifestation. However, Lillian DeWaters gave us a higher understanding. She says she doesn't watch her thoughts, she watches God. And with her eyes stayed on God, her thoughts, well, they take care of themselves, all without her attention or direction. Lillian DeWaters gives us a pattern to follow. When we watch God, we do so from that secret place of the Most High. This is the only place, the only state of consciousness where we may find him. Remember, he's located in his kingdom, the kingdom within. Now, it's true, we may serve him outwardly. We may think about God. We may talk about God. We may study and learn about God. However, the experience is what counts, and it only happens in the silence. This morning we have the opportunity to become still, enter the silence, and commune with God. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? In the stillness, we feel God's presence. In a time of sorrow, a time of joy, he is here. The world has its tribulations, but the promise is, I will never leave you nor forsake you. At any time, in any place, we may pause and say, speak, Lord, I am listening. Enter your closet and shut the door. When we quiet ourselves, we release our thoughts and our emotions, sensing and feeling through inner guidance and revelation. Come on to me, for I am your God, and there is none else. I count you among my people and call you by name. Abide in the secret place, enter the kingdom, and receive the blessings I have prepared for you. In the silence, I renew and restore what the times of tribulation have taken from you. I go before you, making every crooked place straight. As we leave the sanctuary this morning, let us go in peace. God will never leave us, and that is our sufficiency. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within, acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen. Stand and